Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Writing to the statutorily cursive writing to the statutorily required instruction for students grades 2 through 5. And the bill also defines proficiency in cursive writing as the ability to write upper and lower case letters in cursive, writing words and sentences legibly with proper spacing and alignment, and the ability to read and apply cursive writing so as to support literacy requirements.
Do you have any studies to show the benefits of this, not just the historical side, but the fact of what it does for the brain? And can you share that?
Representative Oberdorf.
Absolutely. It certainly has major cognitive benefits, has the ability then with hand-eye coordination. I actually just met with some parent groups this morning that said it also helps with the early diagnosis of dyslexia as well. And so it may be an opportunity there that now, with all of these different skills put in place, could actually provide an even better foundation for us.
Yeah, so this is Toby Overdorf. He is a representative in the state legislature, and the bill is HB 921, which would expand the mandate to teach cursive from 3rd to 5th grade down to 2nd to 5th grade, so adding a year and requiring a proficiency test of some kind that you have to be proficient enough in writing cursive in order to advance. So, you know, you do not get your 5th grade diploma unless you can... unless you can write cursive. I like the human moments. I like the kind of the funny moments. Fiona McFarland is running this committee.
Any further questions, members? See none. We have no amendments. Does anyone want to handwrite an amendment? All right. Do we have any? We have some public testimony here today.
So, you know, a lot of folks talking about this, including, you know, representatives that, you know, have seen the problem of people, their kids either knowing or their kids' friends not knowing how to write in cursive.
I want you to know that, because I think this is where you're going. Private schools still do this. My kids all do it. And their friends came over that were at public schools and they had no idea what they were doing. So I appreciate you bringing this bill forward.
Got to stop creating a gap between public and private schools. Yvette Benaroach is a representative.
I so appreciate this. Sometimes we forget that it's not only about writing, right? It actually, fine motor skills, cursive helps. It also helps with improving creativity and critical thinking, which is so much needed. So I appreciate this bill very much. So you will have my full support, and I hope everybody else votes yes on it.
And what might surprise you is this was really an across the board, oh my God, what are we doing that we don't already have robust teaching of cursive? And we do. Okay, again, it is required in Florida. It's just not, you don't have to become good at it. You just kind of have to go through the process of teaching it. And there's an argument against teaching cursive. We'll get to that in a second. But I wanted you to hear some of the pro arguments from Yvonne Hinson. I'm finding myself agreeing with Democrats today a lot because the Democrats are on the right side in some of these things because it's unanimous, basically. And in other cases, they're just on the right side, period. My party has gone astray on a couple of one key item. Anyway, Yvonne Hinson.
Don't know how we've gotten so far away from what's good about everything in education, but cursive writing is one of those things. And I think that fine motor skill, once it's mastered, creates a better writer both in manuscript and cursive writing because of their control over their motor skills. I sure appreciate you bringing this back. And I hope you get everybody's favorable support.
Yeah, how did we get away from it? Yeah, same kind of question that when we discovered that I just didn't know, they weren't driving on the streets in driver's ed or even having driver's ed all the time. Like, what? they're not teaching cursive. Now, I will say, I'm not your traditional advocate for cursive. I actually write in print. I think that's much more important. I think it's faster. I don't understand the people who say that it's faster to write in cursive. That baffles me. I have to try to write in cursive. John is an advocate of cursive writing. He writes in cursive. I don't get it. That's fine. We'll have this conversation another time.
Well, it takes me less time to do it than it would for me to do a block letter.
The argument for cursive is you don't have to lift your pen up and down off the paper. it's continuous motion. The problem is that I think the letters themselves take longer to form. They're longer and slower to form with the curves. But you get good at what you're good at. You know, you get good enough. So, fine. We'll have a write-off. We'll see who's better, and then, of course, we'll have to compare penmanship, too.
No, we're not going to do that. Because I lost that in, like, first grade, bro.
It's terrible. Last quick clips from the representatives, and then we'll talk about the issue.
So I hired a 20...
This is Deborah Tenderich, a Democrat.
So I hired a 27-year-old to work in my office, and I wrote her a note, and she brought it back to me and asked me to read it to her because it was in cursive. So I just wanted to let you know, because of that, I am waving in support. I'm going to support this bill.
So I think that's, you know, like you're trying to... And grandma writes a note or reading the Constitution or all this kind of stuff. Somebody texts in, my son goes to Gulf Breeze schools and they didn't teach him cursive. Were they supposed to? Yeah, I mean, I looked it up yesterday because I wasn't sure. Florida requires the teaching of cursive in third to fifth grade. Now, I'm actually curious now. A, if you're a teacher and you know, we do or don't. But B, if you're a parent and your kids didn't, I'd like to know. Because it's, I mean, I assume my research was good that you're supposed to. What he wants to make it is second to fifth grade, which is an expansion of 1 year, and also the proficiency test to show that you can actually do it. But yeah, that doesn't sound right to me.
Well, I've got a college student right now and a junior in high school, and both of them, it's like Spanish to them.
Wow.
Seriously.
Did they never learn it, or it's just not familiar? Because it's one of those things that if you learn it, you have to practice it or it gets rusty. Like, I have to try to write cursive, and reading cursive is... not as easy, you know, because it's not something I do all the time. But did they ever learn it? Never nope. learned it.
No. Well, now, again, it's like Spanish to them.
Well, the way they went, so Common Core 2010, 2011 is when it went away, and then it came back a couple of years ago.
That's when the
They might have been in the gap when we were doing the dumb Common Core stuff. That's possible. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. We have got a tractor trailer that is blocking all four lanes on Pace Boulevard between Garden and Barrancas, and that's causing some major delays. A caller said that it looked like his brakes had locked up, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So just be aware of that one. That's going to cause you some major delays. No accidents to report right now. Looks like I-10 is slowing down just a little bit between Pine Forest and Highway 29. About a 2 to 3 minute congestion delay there. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Oh, you remember the other day we were talking to Casey Jones, City Councilman Casey Jones, and we were talking about him opening a restaurant, renovating the old grocery store that was there on Haines Street across from the community garden, kitty corner from the police station, and right across from the skate park. It's open. Reservoir is just opened yesterday, and I'm looking at their Instagram, and you know it's kind of funny. They said one of the things they made was the special for yesterday was basil pesto eggs, crispy bacon, melty provolone, heirloom tomatoes, and pesto aioli squished inside buttery sourdough served with bacon cheddar grits. That was a sandwich with the grits, you know, asking what should we call it. And it's funny because it's a picture of one, like, cut in half, and then half of the half has been eaten already. And they're like, we tried to save the special for the photo, but we couldn't stop ourselves. It's adorable. I love it. So anyway, Reservoir is open. Good food. You know, it's a neat project to renovate that grocery store and bring a historic structure kind of back to life. And it's right there on Haines Street, 524 North Haines Street, right across from the police station. 718 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we're getting great texts. You guys are such a great resource. I love it. So I asked the question, is it? I'll just read the text. I have 6 children that have gone through or are going through the Florida public school system. Not a single one of them learned cursive. They were shown what it was, but they did not have to learn how to write. Okay, so because there was not a requirement, it's more of a, hey, look, Greenland, you know. Hey, look, Nigeria, you know. That's what cursive looks like. Now back to math. So that's, wow, okay. My kiddo's at Lipscomb Elementary in third grade, and she was taught cursive in second grade and third grade now. I have 2 children, 19, 24, both have bachelor's degrees and cannot read cursive. Somebody says we just had this conversation a couple of months ago. My nephew just finished fifth grade at Cordova Park Elementary. They did not teach him cursive in third or fourth grade. My granddaughter's a junior in high school here in Escambia, does not understand cursive. Okay, interesting. So, that's why I asked. I was curious, and I guess it's either not done at all or not done thoroughly. And by the way, that's one of the arguments against, right, is cursive will take time. You cannot teach cursive in a day. How many hours did you spend practicing your cursive as a kid? Oh, my God. Right? And that's either instructional time or homework time, both of which come at an expense of something. Right? That's something that you're not teaching. Now, would it be keyboarding, which is more valuable in the economy if you had to pick one or the other? Well, you know, keyboard's pretty important. You know, I use that every single day of my life. Last time I used cursive was probably to sign my name. You know, to actually write something out in cursive, good Lord. It's, you know, the last time I wrote a romantic note for my wife, probably, you know, something that I tried to make look nice. Like, that's, it just doesn't happen. Well, how will they have signatures? You don't have to have cursive for a signature. What? Yeah, true. You don't have to have cursive. You can make any mark you want to make. But there are advantages to cursive, and there are advantages, and we haven't really talked much about this yet today, but one of the advantages of cursive, as opposed to print, is it's a different kind of motor skill. It teaches a different part of the brain, does it? When they do monitoring, it looks a little bit different in the brain. Also, it's harder. Cursive is harder than print. And part of that harder is not just the fine motor skill value of learning how to write the letters in a legible way, right? That's true. That's all good for kids. But also the cognitive skill of forming the letter according to a set of parameters that say that's a B, that's a D, that's a P, that's an H, or not, and forming them within those parameters, even though every time you form it, it's a little bit different. It's not like a typewriter or a computer where it's exactly the same every time. So you have to understand the concept of what is within the paradigm, what is within the mark that allows it to be called a B, and what is not, what disqualifies it from being called a B, or qualifies it as a D instead of a B. And then the visual recognition of those things as well, the pattern recognition of being able to, because, again, writing is one of those wild things. You see it on the face of people when they first learn to write. If they've been illiterate, it's a transformative experience for them. There's a light up of the eyes kind of thing. People come alive with it. But it's also, the neuroscience tells us that there are all kinds of elements in both learning and practicing and performing the act of writing and reading in print and in cursive, and it's different from a typewriter. A typewriter is a discrete element, or a, you know, a computer. You punch a key, it makes a D. Every single time the same way. You read a D in the book, or you read a D on the computer screen, it's the same every single time. It doesn't have those same kinds of fine motor skill cognitive functions involved in it. So it is different. But it does take instructional time. Absolutely it does. And not just a little bit in order to perform cursive. There's also kind of a cultural continuity element, you know, being able to read grandma's letter, okay? Being able to read your mom's correspondence to her, you know, future husband from high school. I have, like, all my mom's letters, you know, that kind of thing. If you can't read cursive, you're disconnected from the past. You're completely hopeless when you try to look at the Declaration of Independence. But most people just read it on their computer. And if you're reading old documents, you're trying to figure out, why are there two Fs or one F or where's the S's? You know, like that kind of stuff. And, okay. So anyway, to me, I think this is good. And I'm actually persuaded by some of the research I did yesterday about this. But historically, I have been kind of ambivalent on the issue, mostly because I personally don't ever use cursive except to sign my name or every once in a while for other purposes and to read it. Which, again, very, very rarely as an adult do I ever use it. But again, I did some of the research yesterday, and I'm more convinced now than I was before. And I'm one of the few people who even bothers to argue against it at all. So this passed unanimously. I think it's going to happen, and I think everybody's going to kind of celebrate that it's happening, that we would have this connection to the past.
It's beyond its you know, the historical and the cognitive benefits. This bill also plays a role in everyday life. Your voter ID card, your financial documents, they all will require that personal signature. This gives that opportunity for people all across Florida to be able to have that. So thank you so much for your support.
And I do feel like, you know, nobody can fake my completely illegible signature. But they'd be able to fake me printing my name, I think, most likely. Oh, it's kind of funny. Somebody says my 13-year-old granddaughter learned cursive. As a 4-year-old, that's when I let her scribble my name and a signature is required for a credit card charge. All right. Let's see. Somebody said my son learned cursive at Pensacola Christian Academy. Oh, I'm sure. You know, that doesn't surprise me in the least. Somebody says there's not enough time in school anymore. Their day is shorter. 49 years old here, and I still hate cursive. Somebody else says, you know, a few rollers on the knuckles, you learn fast. The virtues of Catholic school. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. If you are thinking about getting that next vehicle, trying to decide if now is the time or you want to put it off a little bit more, hey, look, don't buy a car when you need to buy a car. Just like anything, don't buy under stress and duress. Like, buy when it's your luxury to do it, because you can put it off. You can say no to a mediocre deal. You can not feel stressed if it doesn't. You know, if you don't need to buy a house and you're just kind of looking and, you know, you make an offer and it doesn't, and it falls through, you're like, oh, okay, easy come, easy go. Same thing for a car. If you're not under pressure to get one, you are making a better decision. So go early, 6 months or so, before you're going to buy the car, and decide what you want. Buy test driving a bunch of things at Frontier Motors. See what features you like, what trim level, you know, what the seats are like, which one drives better. You'll discover through the process of sampling several that you like and don't like things that surprise you. That's fine. That's how you make a decision that you want this car or among this couple of cars. And then if they have it at the price you want, get it. If they don't, you can say, I'll be back in 3 months or 6 months. If you want them to go looking for something for you, they can do that. Just Frontier is a great service, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens, the cursive man, has got traffic on the five. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but we do have a tractor trailer that has gone across all four lanes blocking Pace Boulevard, and it's all the way down to Garden and Barrancas, so just be aware of that. That's causing some major delays. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through the construction zone experienced about a 5 to 7 minute delay with construction and congestion going on there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Have you ever made a spiritual bucket list? In Proverbs 30, a man named Agur makes his spiritual bucket list. He asks God to grant him two things before he dies, and his prayer is the only prayer listed in the entire book of Proverbs. The first thing Agur asks for is that God would remove from him anything that would hinder his walk with God, such as vanity or lying. Secondly, Agur requests that God would not give him anything that would hinder his relationship with God, such as poverty or even wealth. More than anything, Agur just wants to be pleasing to God. So what's on your spiritual bucket list? Let your list be all about pleasing God.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You may think that when you file an insurance claim, the insurance company will do what they're supposed to do and pay out the claim. But insurance companies don't provide manuals to get fair insurance claim settlements. That's where Claimology steps in, giving you a voice when you've suffered property damage or business loss. Don't get lost when filing a claim. Contact Claimology, 888-774-7557 or Claimology.com. Claimology, now, the art and science of application of fair insurance claim settlements.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you want to play rough? Okay. Say hello to my little friend.
Al Pacino is the greatest salesman for assault weapons ever. or sporting rifles if you prefer the term, and I do. 729 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and we all wanted the grenade launcher, and you couldn't buy that, but you can buy the AR-15. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says U.S. officials are on the way to Moscow to talk about a possible ceasefire with Ukraine. Of course, this comes after Ukraine agreed earlier this week to a 30-day ceasefire. Also, the head of NATO visiting President Trump today at the White House, where the discussions on that will continue. An Alaska volcano that hasn't erupted in more than 30 years might be getting ready to blow, Andrew. The Alaska Volcano Observatory says it's likely Mount Spur, which is 75 miles west of Anchorage, could erupt in the coming months, maybe even the coming weeks.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, I saw a false headline yesterday. Consumer prices coming down. Inflation drops from 3% to 2.8%. Oh, my God. Stop it. Inflation going down doesn't mean prices go down. Inflation going down means that the increase of prices has slowed a little bit. The prices themselves are not coming down.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Quebec, Canada, meeting with counterparts from the G7 group of nations. Less friendly territory than usual this meeting, with war on everyone's mind.
There are the potential trade wars following President Donald Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum, not to mention retaliatory measures put in place by Canada and the EU. But the very real war in Ukraine could also reveal divisions among allies.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Russian state news reports that Trump envoy Steve Witkoff is in Moscow to discuss a ceasefire. A former Texas megachurch pastor is indicted on sex abuse charges.
Gateway Church founder Robert Morris is accused of repeatedly sexually assaulting a 12-year-old Oklahoma girl back in the 1980s. Morris had denied the claims but resigned from the church back in June when Clemenshire's allegations became headlines.
Fox's Jill Nato. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 65 and sunny this morning in Pensacola. Looks like an absolutely gorgeous morning. Nearly 100 residents in Escambia County's District 1 got together at the Bellevue Library last night to discuss a proposed move for the Pensacola Greyhound Track Poker Room. They want to move closer to the interstate.
What's being proposed is an ordinance change because this pari-mutuel wagering doesn't exist in any of our zoning districts. It's not an allowed use in any of the districts.
That is the Deputy Director for Escambia County's Development Services Department, Andrew Holmer. Wind Creek owns the poker room license. They want to move from the old dog track facility to a new building in District 1 close to I-10. Many have voiced fears about potential increases in traffic and crime in that area. District 1 Commissioner Steve Stroberger stressed the importance of community input before they approve any zoning changes. Commissioners will continue discussing that on March 25th. Florida House Republicans have taken a step to lift the age limit that stops people under 21 from buying rifles and shotguns in the state. Supporters say it's about protecting Second Amendment rights. There are some critics. They point to the Parkland shooting and believe that these restrictions are important for safety. The bill goes to the Judiciary Committee, and then it can go to a full House vote. A Pensacola woman will serve more than two decades in prison. This is for a fatal DUI crash back in December of 2023. 23-year-old Jasmine West was sentenced to over 20 years in state prison last week. She was convicted of DUI manslaughter after colliding head-on with an SUV, which killed the driver and injured his family. Prosecutors say West was driving over the speed limit and had a blood alcohol level almost twice the legal limit at the time of the crash. She'll serve 4 years day for day and faces a lifetime driver's license suspension. Escambia County Schools Take Stock and Children program is now accepting online applications from 6th and 7th grade students. They'll be accepting those applications until April 14th. The statewide initiative, which is operated locally by Escambia County Public Schools Foundation, offers scholarships, mentorship, and support for low-income students. To qualify, the students have to meet financial criteria, maintain good grades, and show positive behavior. Successful participants can earn a four-year Florida prepaid tuition scholarship when they graduate. For more information on the program, check out the Escambia County Schools website. Well, spring breakers are on their way to Florida, and that means so are fake IDs. Here's more with Chris Bryan.
Law enforcement agencies are issuing warnings about underage drinking. Bartenders report fake IDs are so good. With advanced technology, spotting the fake IDs is increasingly harder. Having a fake ID in Florida is a third-degree felony, and offenders are looking at up to 5 years in prison or probation and a $5,000 fine.
Thank you very much. That's News Radio's Chris Bryan there. 735 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound, of course, between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 10-15 minute delay in that area due to congestion and construction. And also 98 eastbound, right around the Windhaven Beach area, going to see about a 10 to 12 minute delay with that. Also still dealing with the tractor trailer that is blocking all four lanes on Pace Boulevard, and it's all the way down to Garden and Barrancas. So be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We'll have a few more clouds today with a chance of some rain, 50% overall, high near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. On Friday, 20% chance of rain, otherwise partly cloudy skies, high near 74. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Saturday, we are watching for showers and thunderstorms. It'll be moving through in the afternoon and the evening hour, 73 degrees for your high on Saturday. Storms could be strong. There is a weather alert day, a level 3 and 4 out of 5 for severe weather. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 65 and partly cloudy right now across the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. John Hope Bryant, CEO of Operation Hope, has warned the risk of jobs being eliminated by artificial intelligence will disproportionately impact those at the bottom of the pyramid. He urged governments to invest more resources into upskilling the working and middle classes, as well as younger generations on technology. Grab's co-founder and CEO Anthony Tan is pushing full steam ahead with incorporating artificial intelligence into his business. As he told CNBC, those who don't embrace it will eventually be left behind. Tan said the company is taking the mission of implementing AI into various facets of work life very seriously. SpaceX has postponed a mission to bring the next crew set to work on the International Space Station and begin the return of a pair of astronauts back to Earth due to mechanical issues. SpaceX said it is now targeting a launch on Friday evening. Futures are moderately lower ahead of another inflation report due out in 10 minutes. Thursday, the Dow Industrials dropped 82. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models, or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Dawn and Dr. Fleming Tuesday at 10 for the Ochsner Navant Healthcare 65 Plus Pensacola Expert Panel, where you'll find out why you should choose Ochsner Navant Healthcare as your primary care provider, and also their grand opening of their second Pensacola location in Bellevue on Mobile Highway next to Publix. Call or text in your questions to 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, like he always does on a Thursday, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Had a couple of incidents over the last week or so that I know have been in the news related to your agency. One was a smash and grab in a car that I think, if I remember, started at Cordova Mall. Is that the one?
Yeah, it was at a Wells Fargo up there. The victim cashed a check inside, and was the suspect saw the victim do this either inside or walk outside with cash. We're not really sure which yet, but anyway, he targeted that victim. He followed that victim to a second stop. Once she and her daughter got out of the car and went inside the business, they weren't in there very long at all. The suspect went and smashed out a window and took the cash. So this is something that's very rare. It has happened before. It is rare, and it's just another reminder for folks when you're inside a bank getting a large amount of cash or at an ATM to please be aware of your surroundings and pay attention to your rearview mirror to make sure you're not being followed after you leave that financial institution.
What world are we living in America in 2025 that you have to watch your rearview mirror to make sure nobody's following you from the bank when you go to the donut shop or whatever? Like, I just, because it seems like it's an impossible level of awareness you'd have to really be that cautious all the time to prevent, you know, like it just shouldn't happen. And obviously I know that doesn't change anything.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't think they're going to, when they wake up in the morning, they're going to be a crime victim that day. And it just slips their mind. But anytime you're dealing with a large amount of cash, you just need to up your awareness and be aware of your surroundings. Because people are evil. And if they see that you are getting cash or you're being handed cash after cashing a check, these bad guys, they just can't help themselves, and they'll follow you, and sometimes they'll follow you to your home. So if you think you're ever being followed for any reason, the last thing you want to do is go home. What you want to do is get on the phone and call 911 and keep moving until we're able to get an officer to you to stop that vehicle.
I cannot tell you how many times going to my house, I've noticed a car follow me one turn, fine. Follow me two turns, fine. Follow me three turns, oh, hell no. You know, and it's still every single time it has always been innocuous, but it's just one of those you pay attention and you notice. And then if you think there's a concern, you keep driving or you get out of your holster, you know, you do whatever needs to be done. But, you know, you prepare for the situation and certainly don't just get out assuming that everything is going to be fine. Right. That's the advice.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
We had an incident at Strikers that left at least one person injured, a shooting on Monday. Is that right?
Yeah, well, this was Friday night.
Oh, Friday night. Okay,
there
sorry.
Were a lot of shots. Yes, several shots fired. Vehicles were hit. But when officers arrived, there was no victim or suspect on the scene. But later, a person did appear at a local hospital with a gunshot wound that was non-life-threatening. So investigators are working on that one, too.
Now, this is not in the ShotSpotter area, right? Like, that's just a certain part of town. People always ask me, well, what about ShotSpotter? It's great for the part of town it covers, you know? So
Yeah, it's not in that area. We received several 911 calls on that call.
Okay. And then also, I think we had somebody killed, struck on Langley between Spanish Trail and Summit, a pedestrian. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. That was early Saturday morning. Individual was struck. This was not a hit and run. The person that struck the victim stopped and tried to render aid, but unfortunately, the pedestrian passed away.
Do we know anything else about circumstances, or, you know, was the pedestrian in the right of way? Did the car, I'm assuming the car did not go off the road, or was it, do we know anything about why, other than it was just, you know, dark and the bad thing happened?
No, the pedestrian was in the roadway. It wasn't a case of a vehicle going up on a sidewalk or anything like that, but the pedestrian was in the roadway.
Okay. All right. Which is, unfortunate, but, you know, these things do happen. It's 7:45 here on News Radio 92.3, talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. We got John Pickens with traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're expecting about a 10 to 15-minute congestion delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood with the Pensacola Police Department. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah. What's the most common violation, moving violation, that people commit? Just guess and see if you can get that one right.
Oh, that you actually write, or that they do? Because I think the one that everybody does, they don't ever get written up for, which is not properly stopping at a stop sign. Because I don't think anybody other than a learning driver does that properly. But you mean like citation, when people actually get written up for?
Well, both. I mean, it's just a moving a violation that's committed the most.
I want to say speeding. I would say not using their turn signals properly, because that's across the board.
Yeah, sometimes, that happens, when stores are low on turn signal fluid, people can't use them.
It's always out.
Sort of thing happens,
and it's expensive. And who has to replace it all the time, you know?
Yeah, this economy, But but speeding is number one. That's the number one violation, followed by illegal cell phone use, which most of the time is texting. And then the other most common are failure to yield the right of way, improper lane changes, following too closely, improper turns, and failure to obey a traffic control device, which is your red lights and stop signs, and reckless driving. Those are the ones that people commit the most often.
Now, these regulations, they seem like they're specifically targeting Pensacola drivers. I mean, don't you think it's a little bit biased against our local population, all of these things you say good drivers should do?
Well, that's one I got to stay away from. but I can tell you that I've been to other cities and seen the same thing.
We do not have – everybody thinks their own drivers are the worst. And then when you live all around the country, there are differences. There are differences in driver capabilities. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for – oh, no, I knew there was something else I wanted to ask you about, which is I talked about this with the mayor yesterday a little bit. With the red light cameras, the goal is not to – I mean, it's a goal, to reduce red light violations. But the real goal is to stop accidents, right? Like, is to cut down on the number of especially bad, head-on or T-bone or offset accidents. Those are the really bad ones. I just don't really have knowledge. How often, like, say, in a year, do we have those kind of bad accidents at those intersections, like Bayou and 9th or Airport and 9th or, Fairfield and 9th or, Gregory heading up to the I-110 at 9th Avenue? Like, I just don't really have a sense of, is it once a month we have a bad accident there, once a day? You tell me. You know these things better than I do.
No, it's going to be more like once a day at one of those intersections where those cameras were put in.
Okay.
That's exactly why those intersections were chosen.
Okay, so there's enough of a sample where a couple of hundred times a year, those intersections produce very bad accidents. And so if we really have, if the red light cameras are working, then we should see a reduction from that average across those intersections. Is that what we should be looking for?
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, that's why certain intersections end up with a signal system anyway, a red light there anyway when it didn't used to, because there's been a lot of crashes there. So these intersections were chosen because of the amount of crashes, and we're hoping that due to awareness and unfortunately fines, that we're going to see a reduction in those crashes. That is the ultimate goal.
Very good. And, you know, as many police chiefs have been saying it, I appreciate all of them saying this is one of the best ways we can reduce danger to life, limb, and property is just by getting people to, you know, drive more safely. Again, I do think that a lot of the laws you cite were specifically targeted to, you know, be able to use enforcement against Pensacolians, but I'll leave that for another day. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time, keeping us informed, keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
7:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed. And the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Daryl Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of machines, plus a large selection of furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Coming up March 28th and 29th, you'll find Daryl's at the Pensacola Quilts 2025 Quilt Show at the Pensacola Fairgrounds, sponsored by the Pensacola Quilters Guild. Daryl's of Pensacola, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess, 850-438-5444. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Even after 100 recordings, you'll wonder, is it live or is it Memorex?
Mommy, what's a Memorex? We don't make the radio. We just make it better. All right.
Well, Andrew, that's BASF.
I know! Settle down now. Oh, okay, John. This is a quick test of your Gen X credentials.
Okay.
What kind of audio cassette tape did you use the most of? Regular, metal, chrome?
Just regular. Mm. I couldn't afford the others.
Maxell XL2s, baby. All right.
I know, but I couldn't afford them.
I still have some blank ones laying around somewhere.
Really?
I'm sure they're worth not a lot. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You actually bought cassette tapes? You see, I had to take the ones that my dad
got for
his... I am going
to walk out of this studio, youngster. I am going to... You cannot just say that and leave. Go on.
I had to take these cassette tapes that like my dad got for his work training things and like put the little piece of tape over the hole and record over those.
That's
that was all I had.
reusing old audio tapes that you scoured from somewhere else. Never done it. Sure, every time. Go on.
Hey, we've got an update on Pope Francis. It's the his 12th anniversary of becoming Pope, and he is spending it recuperating in the hospital still. He's been hospitalized for about a month now. The Vatican says his tests, though, are now starting to show improvement. He remains in stable condition in the hospital today.
Typical Pope taking his birthday off.
President Trump says U.S. officials are headed to Moscow. They're going to be talking to officials there about the possible ceasefire with Ukraine. Of course, that comes after Ukraine already agreed to a 30-day ceasefire in negotiations with the U.S. And
well, it's not really his birthday, Andrew. You know, it's the day he was made. It's his name birthday. It's, I mean, he's been Pope for, I mean, go ahead. Sorry to interject, David. Go on.
No, you are good.
I'm having my own conversation with myself in front of the audience with you doing the newscast here. So it's fun.
Well, yeah, no, look, this is all about you. Do you got anything you need to work out? You know, we can, how does this make you feel?
I will not interrupt you for the next 45 seconds. I promise.
Well, all I got is one more quick thing. The Trump administration is seeking to deport a pro-Palestinian activist who has a green card and is married to an American citizen. Muhammad Khalil was arrested by ICE agents last weekend in New York. The administration claims that he organized some of those protests at Columbia University that harassed Jewish American students and distributed pro-Hamas propaganda. All right, Andrew, back to your pontifications.
29, 30, 31. I didn't even mention harassed. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives, John.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 15 to 20-minute delay. Also, if you're traveling Highway 29 southbound from 9 Mile all the way through I-10, expect about a 10 to 15-minute delay just due to congestion right there. And Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola, I'm seeing just some minor backups there, but just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, we're in a trade war, right? Like, the trade war has officially begun. I mean, what else would you call it? Whether you agree or disagree, whether you think it's any good or bad for America, that's a whole conversation. I would say this, if you are surprised that we're in a trade war, were you not listening? It's like if you're surprised the Department of Education is being gutted. Were you not listening? Oh, this guy wants to build a wall with Mexico. And you're surprised. Right? I mean, like, none of this is a surprise. So, you know, whether it's good or bad, it's his own conversation. So in the press conference the other day, Caroline Leavitt was asked by AP reporter Josh Boak, about the tariff war impending, right?
If we could just step back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts. He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs. And I'm curious he's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
He's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts.
So it's the importer who pays the tariff, not the foreign country, typically. And that cost increase, it just goes away magically or gets passed on to the consumer? Gets passed on to the consumer. And so the consumer pays a higher price that the government created by imposing a tariff. And it is not maybe officially a tax hike, but it is a government fee charged to part of the distribution chain that the consumer ends up paying. It may not be called a tax, but it sure does function like a tax. And even if you don't think it's a tax in the strictest sense, to call it a tax cut is kind of a weird mathematical position, since typically, tariffs increase prices. You would have a hard time explaining how that's a tax cut.
You know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
I'm sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have.
They don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen in decades, as I said at the beginning, revenues will stay here, wages will go up, and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you're trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I'm now regret giving a question to the Associated Press. Mary, go ahead.
So not sure that was handled the best way you could handle it, since you got it wrong. I mean, you really got it wrong, and then you attack him for attacking you. Now, I think he didn't handle it well either. A little bit testy and spiteful, but yeah, the tariffs are not a tax cut in any world, period. Now, you can argue long-term what might happen if you impose tariffs and how that might affect prices and productivity and wages and all that, but there's no universe in which imposing a tariff is a tax cut now.